evening and welcome to a special edition of Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and this program's all about music and the people who make it. And tonight I've got a very old friend calling in, Mark Farner, formerly of Grand Funk Railroad. He was the voice, the guitar, and in many cases the songwriter of the great Grand Funk songs that we know and love. Although Mark's no longer performing under the GFR banner, he has forged a successful career in recent years outside of that group, and he's still going strong. In fact, he's coming to the Folinger Theater in Fort Wayne this Friday, July 7th. He'll also be at the Arcata Theater in October in St. Charles, Illinois. We'll talk all about that. We'll play some songs, new and old, and we'll chat with the legendary guitar player and voice of GFR, Mr. Mark Farner. Since it was 4th of July yesterday, let's start off with a patriotic song that Mark wrote back in 2002. This is off his Red, White, and Blue Forever album. It's a title track, Red, White, and Blue.
She's got a name as proud as any. Her heart and soul depends on you. When it comes to hard times, man, she's got plenty. But she's the only one that can make your dreams come true. Red, white, and blue. I'm walking through this land right next to you, the place that I belong. Red, white, and blue. I'm proud to wear this name, America. We are red, white, and
Blue. That is is Mark Farner Music and his band NRG. And we have the man himself. He's with us now. We're going to talk with him. Mark Farner, how are you, buddy?
Hey, brother. I'm doing good, Tom.
Last time I saw you was at the Hippie Fest. You were out with Dave Mason and Felix Cavallari, and I think Derringer was on that bill, too, at the Star Plaza Theater. That was a few years back.
And that was a good time.
You've stayed busy. Of course, a lot of people know your voice, know your guitar from Grand Funk, and you've been gone from the band for a while now. Carrying on as a solo band, NRG. Tell us a little bit about the group and the fact that you're bringing them here to Fort Wayne, Indiana this Friday, Folinger Theater.
I'm bringing some guys that jam because they love to jam.
Mm-hmm.
They love to recreate the music that I made, and because the other guys in the faux funk, the F-A-U-X, that's what, you know, that's
right,
what we refer to. But I don't think that they have the same kind of consideration towards the fans, or probably they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. But the fans are my most valued people, because if it wasn't for the fans, I wouldn't be up there.
Right.
So I take to heart, you know, what they and the influence that we've been able to perceive from input, you know, over the internet and what have you. And I even formed my show from what people have been requesting. And, you know, we did a poll and got the favorite songs and put them in a set. And, you know, for me, man, this, to be able to do that and do the record, this is what the people should expect from me. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to make it sound like the record. And you better bring your dancing shoes.
Mm-hmm. Your voice is exactly the same as it was on the records back then. What do you do to keep your voice in shape?
I pray. You know, I thank God for it. My whole perception of God changed when I died back there 3 years ago. And we're bringing joy, man. And this music, as you know, I believe if we talked about this, Tom, about I tune to A432 instead of A440, like normal concert pitch in the United States is A440. I go to 432 because it is in tune with the universe, and it just sets so good, and the music sounds wonderful. And when you tune an acoustic guitar to 432, man, that thing goes, it's going, thank you, thank you, thank you. And all these harmonics and all the tone that comes out of it at that tuning, at that range. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So everything that I record from now on is going to be at 432. And the concert that the people will hear in Fort Wayne, brother, 432.
Speaking of guitar, what got you into the guitar? What attracted you to the guitar? I know you were a big Chuck Berry fan. We just lost him not too long ago.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was it that drew you to the guitar?
Well, my mother, when I hurt my knee in football. I was playing football, and we scrimmaged the varsity team, and they kicked our butts, and I had some injuries. And the doctor told my mother, he's not going to be playing football anymore. He's not going to run track in the fall. And she knew that's what I really lived for, to hear my name called over the loudspeaker.
Mm-hmm.
That was Farner number 66 in on the tackle. you know, that dude, that was me. And because she knew I loved that, she got me 6 lessons and rented a K acoustic guitar. And that was for my 15th birthday present. And so I took 3 of the lessons, and the guitar teacher was out hunting, and he shot himself in the foot. And I told my mother that he wouldn't be teaching, you know, and for me to just go watch the guys in the high school band that I was hanging out with and to, you know, have them show me the chords. And that's what I did. I started hanging out with my buddies, and they were showing me, and I was singing the whole time, but I would just stand there and make like I was playing, you know. There was nothing coming out of that guitar amp. The cord went over through the handle and hung over the back of the amp. It didn't plug into anything. You know?
When did you finally plug in?
Dude, it was about a year. I was about 16 when they started plugging me, and I was good enough, you know, to rock and roll. But I sang, and Diane, my sister Diane, she was the drummer of this band part-time. Mm. Because the other guy who ended up getting drafted, and Jim Keener went to, you know, to the Army, went off to Nam, and so my sister Diane took his place permanently because she could go, dot, 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 dot. You know, she could play that beat.
Mm-hmm. Did she stay with music?
No. I mean, she stayed loving music, and she sings, but it's in our family, you know.
So this is in the genes for you then?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We are talking with Mark Farner, former Grand Funk Railroad guitarist and vocalist, and the guy that wrote most of the songs we know and love from him. In fact, we're going to play one now featuring his new band, which is NRG, which actually isn't new anymore. They've been around a long time. But let's do a song that you generally open up the show with, early part of the show, foot stomping music. And we'll play this, and then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about what else is going on in Mark Farner's life. Rockin' and rolling with a little foot stomping music. That is Mark Farner and the NRG Band. That was recorded a few years ago. And Mark, Grand Funk originally was a three-piece, and then you added Craig Frost to make it a four-piece. How big is your current group?
Four pieces.
So you replicate everything you guys did in the 70s then, the late 70s.
Absolutely. And okay. When we're doing a three-piece thing, we do a three-piece. Carl will stand there and, you know, clap his hands or something. But the keyboard player, Carl, and he's a monster, you know. Mm-hmm. He can play anything. He can play any style of music. He sings. He's great. And it's hard for a guy that's that talented to just not do anything.
Right.
But when it comes to the three-piece stuff, that's what he does.
Now, these guys are going to be in concert real soon near here, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Folinger Theater, Friday, July 7th. For those of you that are listening further out in Chicagoland, they're going to be in fall at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles, working a show with Ron Onesti. And you're playing both dates with Blue Oyster Cult, as I understand. Are you on tour with them?
No, actually, that's just a couple of one-offs that we've had and have had the pleasure of doing it. With old brother Buck Dharma, I've done a couple of things with him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We went down and did that thing for the hurricane victims down in Florida with AC/DC and the Entwistle Band and Dharma and Derringer. It was, oh my God, Eddie Monday. It was a lot of people that came down to help out. And I love it when it's like that because nobody's getting paid and everybody's really, you know, concentrating on raising the money and raising the awareness of the problem that we're there jamming about and making awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, with Blue Oyster Cult being on the bill, are you guys flip-flopping whenever you play? Who opens? How do you decide? You toss a coin?
Oh, no. I open for those guys. Those guys are Blue Oyster Cult. I'm Mark Farner, formerly of Grand Funk Railroad. There is respect, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Ed Buck has done the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp with me. You know, we've done it together. And we're friends, and so there's no trips, there's no kind of ego stuff going on here. It's just fun to be around them. I don't care. I will open for anybody. As you know, I opened for Charlie Daniels, man, on Long Island one time, and they threw a bunch of beer bottles up on the stage. Yeah, man.
Wow. Charlie's been on the show here a number of times, and he's an old friend. And Ted Nugent's actually going to be on, another Michigan boy, coming up in a couple of weeks. He'll be here at the Star Plaza. And one thing you share in common with Charlie and Ted is the fact that you guys are very patriotic, and you have no shame in showing that in your music, in your speaking. And even though your views may be a little different, we all know Ted sometimes is Ted.
Well said.
But you have written some great songs. Of course, we just played Red, White, and Blue, and I'd like to play one from 2006 that you wrote, For the People. Another very strong song lyrically. Can you talk about that a little bit? What went into that song and what inspired it? And then we'll play it.
Well, actually, Tom, the deregulation of the FCC back in 95, when I knew that was coming, I told my agent, then Bobby Roberts, whom you know,
mm-hmm.
This is not a good sign, Bobby. I said, are you kidding me? That was the 777 rule was set in place to prevent a monopoly. And with it gone, there's going to be a monopoly. And it's going to be, you're going to have to buy your way into this. You're going to have to kiss somebody's hind end to do this or that. I said, it is not feeling good, man. Can you feel a ripple, you know, in the fabric of what we're doing as people here? He goes, yeah, man. He says, but there's really nothing you could do about it because now that this Clear Channel's bought all these stations and then Live Nation bought all of the amphitheaters and they work together. I mean, it's unfortunate for the talent that's still here in the United States because they're not going to get the same breaks I got, Brother Tom.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to have to weasel their way in, get somebody that's knows the way in, because it's not the talent that's going to put them in there. It's too bad. It's very political, and the whole thing has changed. But my music, I still play things that they don't want us to play on the radio. I still
right.
play people, let's stop the war, brother, you know.
Right.
And I play songs that they, you know, because of the ownership, they just play fluff for the mainstream, or some kind of degenerating cop killer rap stuff. They own the stations that play this, and then they tune up the media to gripe about what the radio stations are playing that they own.
Right.
Kind of crazy, you know, really.
That's the reason I left commercial radio. As you know, I was doing commercial radio for a number of years. And when it got to the point where they don't let you play music that matters or music from veteran artists just as good as anything they used to play, I said, I've had enough. I can't play the same 30 songs over and over and over again. Not that they're bad songs, but my gosh, you don't want to eat the same bologna sandwich every day either.
Amen, brother.
So I came to NPR, and we have all the freedom in the world, and that's why we're going to play this song. And for those out there that are Grand Funk Railroad fans, Grand Funk fans, Mark Farner fans that may not have heard this, if you missed it when it first came out in 2006, pay close attention. This is the title track from his album, For the People. More with Mark Farner when we return. Just another day in America. And, you know, that song is just as suited today as it was 11 years ago when it was written. Mark Farner is our guest. Mark is the former voice guitar player, songwriter of Grand Funk Railroad. Of course, that song is from his own band, NRG. He's got several albums out under his own name. Still does all the Grand Funk hits you love him for. And he's coming to Fort Wayne, Indiana, Folinger Theater this Friday, July 7th. And, of course, coming to Chicagoland at the Arcata Theater again in October in the fall months. And Mark is with us tonight. And, Mark, I got to say, that song definitely strikes home in today's environment.
Well, it's, you know, for somebody that loves this country for what it stood for and the possibilities that we saw, you know, Americans that were doing good, making cars, you know, Flint, Detroit, Pontiac, people, two cars in every driveway, a boat, nice house. It was a time. It was an era. And you know that everything is kind of governed by how much money is in that particular 10 years or, you know, right. Because that's what everybody's after. And when the economy starts hurting and people are, you know, faltering, they lower the interest rate and they dump more of this. You know, where do they print it from? They don't have the gold to back it up. So right. It's just fake money.
Just paper.
Yeah, it's just Federal Reserve notes are from this private corporation known and called the Federal Reserve. But people think, because it's federal, they think it's governmental, but there really isn't. And you know, that's part of this whole mirage, because nothing really is as it appears to be, Brother Lounges.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of us that have kind of kept our ear to the ground because we don't want to lose track of Mother Earth and taking care of what we're supposed to, why we're here. It's difficult for us to even talk to people who are so under the influence of lamestream news. And they bought into this global only, and everybody's driving these foreign cars, man. I mean, really. Man, what happened to our patriots? What happened to the people whose responsibility it was to preserve freedom? And how much, you know, freedom are you buying with that foreign car? I mean, that's just one of my gripes, dude. It really is. And they say that 10% of the population would turn around and start buying American, that it would turn the economy around. Just 10% of the nation. But there's no U.S. auto manufacturers in the top 10 who are enjoying the sales in the top 10 slots. But there are no U.S. auto manufacturers in the countries that represent those slots here.
Right.
That's my beef. Fair trade? What's fair about that?
Right.
You know?
One thing that I respect about you is that you were born and raised in Flint, Michigan, and you still reside in Michigan.
That's right, yeah.
And what keeps you in Michigan?
I'm homeboy. My family's here. A lot of my family. Family that moved out had to because of job opportunities and situations, what have you. You know, but I love it here. I love the seasonal change. But I'm at the age where I wish it wouldn't be as cold in the winter and not as long.
Yeah, I hear you. Florida sounds good about December, January.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I heard that. All of that.
Something else that a lot of folks may not realize is that you are very rooted with family. You are a family man. You've been married to Lisa now, what, 40 years?
It'll be 40 years, January 8th.
You've got a great family, and you're all together. And, you know, we see all the divorce rate in America, and you're in the entertainment business. And, of course, lots of temptations on the road, things like that. But you have done what so many don't do and can't do. What's the secret to a good relationship?
Well, with Lisa and I, you know, I'm an 8th Cherokee, and she's an 8th Chippewa. I told my kids they're Chippewas. You know? But our kids have got, you know, they're card-carrying Native Americans. But on the Cherokee side, the Cherokee men esteem their wives to be equal with themselves. And this was something that just came natural to me, because how are you going to give all of your love to somebody that you thought was a little bit less than you? I mean, it's not going to happen. You can't. You know, you got to have that kind of respect, and then love rewards that. I mean, seriously, there's got to be a balance. And in our society, as a 69-year-old man coming up here in September, I think we need the feminine energy for balance, you know, seriously, mm-hmm. about the, you know, the soldiers that we're raising up, our sons. If the moms had a say-so in it, I'm thinking we would hear a different side of America.
I agree. Different perspective completely.
Yeah.
Well, right now is a great time for bad time. More with Mark Farner on the other side.
I'm in love with a girl that I'm talking about. I'm in love with a girl I can't live without. I'm in love, but I sure picked a bad time to be in love.
Great song that is. 1975, you wrote that one. It went to number one. Mark, speaking of relationships, as we were on the other side, do you ever see the original Grand Funk getting back together again?
With Don and Mel, during the corporate meetings, you know, I voice what I say. That's the only time I ever talk to them, and I want to get back together for the sake of the fans.
Right.
Because I was a Beatle fan, dude, and I could not believe that while they were all still sucking air, they couldn't just bury the hatchet and give us the Beatles. Man,
right.
I wanted to see them guys. And so I know from a fan's perspective what a Grand Funk fan would like to see. We're still all sucking air, but who knows what if we will be tomorrow.
Right.
And that is the angle that I come from, and forgiveness. I mean, but even like ZZ Top, you know, those guys don't even talk to each other. They come in three different tour buses. You know, about that. I mean, I'm really serious. People
right.
don't believe this, but my kinfolk here, when I tell them the road stories, it's kind of sad sometimes, but mm-hmm. it's what's happening out there.
Well, I worked a show with the Everly Brothers, and it was the same thing. On stage, they were like, hey, remember when Dad did this? And then they'd walk off opposite sides of the stage, go to separate trailers and not talk. It was crazy. But, I remember seeing you guys at Star Plaza Theater with Don, Mark, and Mel, and it was the Bosnian tour, I believe it was. You were supporting the live album, and it was brilliant. Yeah. I mean, you guys were together, and the fans were there, and the music was there, and the love was in the air, and it was so great to see you all together, and it seemed like everything was upbeat, and then like 2 years later, it fell apart again. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about it at all, but what was the impetus for the walk away situation?
Well, there were certain things that we agreed to when we got back together that were not really lived up to, and we told Punch Andrews, you know, that we were going to do it for, we're going to give it a period of 2 years, mm-hmm. and then talk about, see, you know, what's up. But all of this stuff is the legal aspects of the music business that I'm involved in, and I don't want to bore the fans or violate any kind of personal information for anybody.
Okay, enough said.
My perspective is that I am a forgiving man. I am. I mean, Jesus, man, look at the miracle. There was a guy that pushed forgiveness, and they kicked his butt. You know, that, mm-hmm. I mean, so maybe if I believe in it enough, I get my butt kicked too. But I'm not going to let go of it. Since I come back, this bone suit, I call it,
mm-hmm.
I know the problem here. The plague of mankind is debt consciousness, man. You know, people try to snafu us with this debt that we become broken, and we are separated from the true power, and the nature of our power is love, man. Look at the little babies. They're not born with knives in their mouth and M16s in their hands. I mean, you got to train a kid to kill and to hate and to do all this stuff. We're really nice little kids.
we are, man.
All of us, and that's how we go back. No matter how we live our life, the price is paid, man. I already witnessed it, so, and that's my message. You know, that's it's just got to be forgiveness. If that's not going to come from the top, it's going to be this world that we're living in, where people are just turning their head and allowing evil to triumph.
I remember you telling me many, many, many years ago when we did a show together. In fact, we went on a tour bus. You gave my daughter her first Bible. And you were telling us the story about how you came to a certain point in your life and you went to a church you didn't even belong to. You just walked in, and your wife, Lisa, was in a different church, and you were both praying at the same time. And at that point, your life changed, and you gave yourself to God, and you became a born-again Christian. You've been making Christian music since, as well as still embracing your past. Share a little bit about that epiphany.
Well, after a while, and I kept, because, man, you know, with a guy that has had all this worldly success and accomplishments that mm-hmm. I've made, I'm thinking, well, you know, she'll come waltzing back through those doors any day now, any minute, and then I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's not happening, and it was like, I was sitting there, I was about halfway through a 12-pack, and I looked over into the corner of this log cabin that Lisa and I had built from, I bought a sawmill out of Popular Mechanics and hooked a combine motor to it and sawed up a bunch of lumber and made this house. But it had a leaded glass window over in the corner, and I looked over there, and I saw, it was like I had a vision of me on my knees in front of the television set when I was 9 years old, when my dad died. Billy Graham was in Flint, Michigan on a crusade. He was at Atwood Stadium, and they were televising it. And he says, if you're hurting, if you need a touch from God, he starts talking about all this stuff, and I'm thinking, man, he's talking right to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm listening to my mother and my aunts and uncles and my grandpa mourning in the other room, just crying, sobbing, tears. Everybody was just, you know. And then this program, Billy Graham's calling me in there. So I put my hand on the television set and I prayed. But that was a point of, you know, the situation of my life brought me to a place where I was pretty distraught. And I, you know, my mother was, gosh, there was no stability there, and I'm looking for stable. And man, the things that Billy Graham said—that was what I was interested in, and I did give my life to God. But if we do or don't, and I can tell you this, having been to heaven and back already twice, it doesn't make any difference. Love is greater than any doubt we may have.
Let's do a song that inspires me when I'm feeling down. I'm talking about Isn't It Amazing. Is there a story? What was it that made you embrace this song and record it?
It was sent to me, Tom. A friend of mine said, you know, this guy that's living down in Nashville, and he was a guitar player for Ricky Nelson, by the way.
Okay, from the Stone Canyon Band.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he had written this song, and they sent me a copy of it, which was done more like maybe Kenny Rogers would do it. But I, when I'm listening to it, I heard the words, and it touched me. And I could hear it as a rock ballad kind of thing. And that's the way we did it, and it was very successful. And people still, man, come up to me and talk about that song in line when I'm doing the autographs or we're at the merch table. It's you know, it's one of those that, that touches the heart. And it's, if you're spiritual, if you allow yourself to be, you know,
it
it helps you get in touch. It really does.
It truly does. And like I said, this is a go-to song of mine. I'm having a bad day, and we're going to share it with the listeners right now. This is Mark Farner going back, I believe it was the late 80s. Wasn't it the Injustice album?
Absolutely, brother.
Isn't it amazing? Mark Farner.
Isn't it amazing what a prayer
it amazing? Isn't it an amazing song? One that definitely lifts you up when you're feeling down, from 1988. That's off another Injustice album. Mark Farner, formerly of Grand Funk Railroad, one of his early solo albums. Mark, that was actually the first solo album you did after the Atlantic pair that you had done in the 70s, correct?
That's exactly right.
How much of the solo album years are you playing versus Grand Funk hits?
I'm playing mostly the funk stuff. Every once in a while, I'll throw something in, you know, solo. But my audiences really want to hear the old funk stuff. And if I wouldn't have put out so much music, but what a great dilemma, Brother Lounges.
Right.
You know. What a great dilemma.
Hey, how many gigs a year are you averaging now? I mean, back in the day, you guys lived on the road. You know, with the health issues and health scares you've had, how much are you on the road now?
Oh, we're doing 60 average.
Okay. How are you feeling now? I mean, of course,
I'm feeling great, man.
You had a lot of heart issues going on there, as you've mentioned.
Well, it was a bundle branch block, which the pacemaker takes care of. The doctor that did the catheterization, when I went in there, you know, they ran that camera up your main artery from your groin.
Mm-hmm.
They put it in, and then they go up that artery. He came in the following day, told me I had the cleanest arterial system he'd ever seen. And this guy, he says, I do thousands of these. He says, I want to know what you're doing. I just told him, you know, I was doing this every day religiously. I do the Ilhwa ginseng. It's I don't get anything from Ilhwa at all. I have to buy it at retail wherever I get it. But it's the only ginseng, man, that I know of where the enzymes are still intact. And it's a Korean soil, so it's very high in all of the minerals that, you know, we people, you know, human beings need. We need a lot of minerals. It's missing in the soil. We're not getting in our food.
Right.
And with all this genetically modified crap they're trying to shove in us now, I don't know what the purpose is outside of getting rid of us quicker.
Right. Well, I remember when we were in the studio together many, many years ago, you turned us on to Royal Jelly.
Yeah.
You remember that? We were doing the sessions, and we were all burned out, and you're still humming around the studio. I'm like, what is this guy on? And then you gave us Royal Jelly, and it was energizing. And
Royal Jelly and ginseng and a honey base, and it was like it was renchen fen meng jing.
I still look for that when I go to health food stores, and I still take it because of that. But what's left, Mark? We're almost out of time here. What's left on your bucket list at this point?
Well, I just want to provide for Jesse the best quality of life I can give him while I'm still here, because he got struck, you know, and right there in the prime of his life. I feel so sorry for him every time I see him, but I don't want to look at him and have conversations with him as if he were an invalid or something.
Right.
I want him, you know, just have a straight up conversation and be real and everything. But that's what we are hoping for and praying for, that we can put him in a place that's all on the same level, maybe, you know, 1,200 to 1,500 square feet, something small.
Okay.
Everything on one level, but he's, because of the power chair, he's got to have more room to move around than just a regular wheelchair. You know, 400 and some pounds without anybody in them.
Well, it sounds like he's turning things around, and God bless him for that.
Yeah, man.
Well,
let me put this in the air.
Go ahead.
For all people who have to use power chairs, somebody's got to come up with one that they put suspension on, brother, because these people who are riding in them are at the mercy of a solid axle going across, and unless you let some air out of the pneumatic tires, you're not going to have any kind of a, you know, cushioning, shock absorbing ride. It's going to be very hard on you, and it jiggles them down in the chair, Tom? It's like they got this seat belt, but more they hit those bumps, the more they settle into it, and it causes problems. So I want to put that out there. Somebody needs to come up with that power chair that is suspended and can take some going across a yard, or going across the ripple in the sidewalk without dropping the person that's in it down a notch.
Right. Keep up with Mark Farner at markfarner.com. See him this Friday, July 7th, Folinger Theater in Fort Wayne. Look for him in the fall at the Arcata in St. Charles. And Mark, I would love to have you back on in the fall. We have so much we can talk about, and we just don't have enough time.
But, absolutely.
All right. I will give you a ring. We'll set something up. And God bless you and stay safe
on
the road.
And you, Brother Longes.
All right.
Thanks for having me, man. Knock them alive over there, my bro.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, dude.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
That wraps up tonight's Midwest Beat. It's always wonderful to catch up with my old friend Mark Farner. And that said, let's close out with this one. Thanks for listening. Keep on rocking. Adios.
I don't need a whole lot of money. I don't need no big fine car. I got everything that a man would want. I got more than I could ask for. I don't have to run around. I don't have to stay out all night. I got me a sweet loving woman, and she knows she is, she's
some kind of wonderful.
Yeah, 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 yeah. When I hold her in my arms, you know she sets my soul on.